Today on Real Radio.
It's pretty awesome to do the funeral of your mother. In fact, I got in trouble for this. And I know family members that listen into this radio program, they're going to hear this in the Midwest and all. But that's too bad. It's the truth. I did my mother's funeral. She accepted the Lord 4 weeks before she died. And she couldn't read enough Bible before she died in 4 weeks. She just took off onto that Bible like a tornado. And when I did her funeral, I'm sorry, but I didn't have anything to cry about. I couldn't get the smile off my face because the overwhelming reality was there was going to come a day when I'm going to go see my mom.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch, Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative or gospel written by Luke. We're in a presentation taken from Luke 7 and verses 11 through 17. It's the account of Jesus having compassion for a woman who was a widow and whose son had just died. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in an impassioned presentation called What Faith Has to Do.
Luke chapter 7, and we are in verses 11 to 17. And what we're looking at today, and the title of the message today, is What Faith Has to Do. What faith has to do. Last time when we were in our study together, we looked at what faith has to say. We heard statements of faith, and we heard professions of faith. We talked about that centurion and his servant that had become sick and was even near unto death. And when we looked at that, we looked at some very important things and its importance. And it's been some time since we've been together that we remember in verses 1 to 5 of Luke chapter 7 that faith says to think outside the box, that God is greater than our ability to describe God and to categorize him. And we learned that faith works and moves outside the box because faith calls for help. Faith does not proud. It reaches out to God. And we saw that when the centurion cried out regarding his servant. And then we also saw that faith knows to go to Jesus. We might have faith in so many other things in this life and in this world. And I believe that God will strip away things. I don't care what it is. I don't care how cute it is, how big it is, how green it is, or how gold it is. I believe that if God loves us, and he does, if anything's an idol in our lives, God will strip it away so that we might go to Jesus with our needs. And he's very faithful to do that. We saw that faith cries out to God, that there's no one else to cry out to, because that centurion sent that Jewish leadership to beg Jesus to come and heal that servant of his. And then secondly, we saw that faith has to say this, that we're not worthy. Faith says, in the light of our unworthiness, that we can't see God being part of our lives. It's a natural tendency for us to realize that when we consider God, that we almost run into the shadows. We withdraw and we say, oh God, who am I? And what am I that you would love me? That you would even care for me? But faith, even though we are overwhelmed with a sense of unworthiness, faith announces to us that God wants to be part of our lives. That centurion said, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy for you to come under my roof. And yet Jesus had a plan to bless that man. We also realize that faith invites the presence of God into our lives. We don't warrant that either. And yet God wants to live with us. God wants to dwell with us and be with us. The presence of God. We also learned that faith, and this is amazing, faith cries out and announces that God wants to change things in our lives. Church, listen, I have got to tell you that, and part of it is maybe the reason why God has called me to be a pastor. I I came from Russia and flew from Russia to Copenhagen to Seattle, stepped off the plane and went into a three-day teaching conference of pastors from all over the Northwest, from the tip of the Aleutian Islands of Alaska, as far south as Utah, all the way up into Canada, and had a chance to speak to 600 pastors, and so many of them struggling with their calling. Should they be in the ministry or not? And I've got to tell you that my heart went out to them, because I don't struggle with that. I heard God speak to me. I don't doubt that. And that's my joy and that's my power, knowing that the Lord has called me to do what I'm doing. But the amazing thing is that because of that being true, I love to see change happen in my life. And because that's true, you know, God is always moving. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. And the reason why he says that is because everything around him changes, including you and I. If God is at work, you're going to be changed. Oh, Pastor, I don't want to be changed. You need to be changed, like a baby. Babies are cute, but sometimes babies need changing because they begin to stink a little bit. God changes our lives. If evolution were ever true, it's true only in the life of a Christian. We are changed, the Bible says, from glory to glory by the power of God. You see, I'm not worthy to be changed. I've been this way. I've been that way. I'm unworthy. I agree with you. I'm unworthy. But God loves change, and he changes us. Isn't it great? He doesn't leave us where we're found. He converts and changes and molds and shapes. And thirdly, last time, what faith had to say to us was that faith says anything is possible with God. And we saw three things about that. We saw that the Lord takes notice. That one verse tells us there in verses 9 to 10 that when Jesus heard that man's faith, he marveled at him and turned and he said. We studied in depth that Jesus took notice because he was impressed with the centurion's faith. And also this, it's important to us because the Lord is looking for the opportunity of what's impossible to work and to move in our life. We're going to hear a little bit more about what's impossible to us. Jesus said, I have not found such great faith, no, not even in Israel. And then we ended our time together last time that what faith has to say is anything is possible because the Lord is the one who gets the glory. The people returned to the house and they found the servant well, just as Jesus had spoken. And so that's a wonderful thing. So we pick it up where we left off last time. Now it is this, what faith has to do. It's not only what it has to say. Let's look at what faith has to do. And what I mean by that, church, are you listening? Jot it down in your notes. This is what that title means. What faith has to do is in relation to you and I. This is what we must do now in light of what we're going to learn today. Okay? So, beginning at verse 11. Now it happened. The day after that he went into a city, village really, called Nain. And many of his disciples went with him in a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, for she was a widow, and a large crowd from the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and he said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And so he who was dead sat up and began to speak. And he presented him to his mother. Then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited his people." And the report of this about him went throughout all Judea and the surrounding regions. Let's get the technical part out of the way and get into the heart of the matter. The village of Nain. Nain, the village, is named after another Middle Eastern area, more towards or east of this location in antiquity. Nain was a small village. It was a quaint little place. It was nothing that you would want to go visit. It was nothing that you'd vacation in. Why would Jesus even be going through that area? What's the deal with that? Nain, for those of you who care, and you can see the map right here, Nain is approximately 10 miles southeast of Nazareth. You might say, well, I don't get that either. Well, listen, it's north of Jerusalem, and you can see that on the map. If that doesn't help you, it's about 7,600 miles from Chino Hills. How's that? It's a place that Jesus had to go through. He wanted to go through. How do we know that? Because when we look to our first point this morning, jot it down, church, if you would, what faith has to do, number one, is this, is to see in the dark. Faith has to see in the dark. If there was ever the call for night vision, it is faith. Faith has to see in the dark. And why do we announce this in our study this morning? Because of the very scene that's around us. It's a very sad scene. First of all, it's one of great concern to the community. Look with me at verse 11. It said, now it happened the day after that he went into the city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him in a large crowd. This is a sad, sad scene because, number one, it concerned the entire town. The whole city is concerned. We, as good Bible students, would ask the question, why? Why would an entire town be involved in a funeral? What's that all about? Secondly, in one moment, this woman was no longer a mother. This woman was no more a wife. The Bible tells us, and we'll learn more in a moment, that she's a widow, and now she's lost her only son. Her son is dead. Her husband is dead. She's all alone. She's got nothing. And you and I, listen, we've got to break the mold of our Western thinking to understand this story. There's no welfare program for her. There's no welfare system for her. There's no registry that she can sign up and come under the widow's outreach. There's none of that. The books of history tell us that she would have slowly whittled away into nothingness. It's a hard life in that time. People trying to make things work to begin with. The Roman Empire is breathing down your neck on top of it. Taxation is high. It's every man for himself. And there's a widow. She's got no husband. And now she's got no son. She's got no one. And I want you to set that in your sights. Death had taken its toll upon this woman's life. And it's a very sad in horrific moment. But Jesus is on his way from Capernaum, where he had done that miracle the very day before regarding the centurion servant. Now Jesus has been heading to the little village of Nain, and he's en route. And all of this great lamentation is going up. The town is there weeping. Now notice the flow of traffic. Jesus and the disciples are heading in. They're approaching the city gates. That's where you would come in. The entire city had called the day off because they're heading out to the graveyard. It's an amazing moment. Everyone's crying, and there's little doubt that this woman and the love of her son and this family had somehow been well known by this town for them to react the way that they do. Jot this down regarding faith having to see in the dark, and that's the challenge to us about our faith. Faith really works in the dark. You won't know that, by the way, until you're in the dark, if your faith really works. Number one is this. We need to be able to see in the dark, and faith sees in the dark. And when it's dark, we can hope for a new day. And I don't want that to sound like some sort of a cute little statement. Oh, just hope for a new day. Let's just wish for a new day. Tomorrow's a new day. This woman's got no tomorrow. At least what tomorrow she has is very bleak. But Jesus is going to show her something about her future, something about her life, that we can hope for a new day. God, church, listen. Wake up if you're sleeping. I know it's early, but God is committed to brand new days for us every day. It is God who starts again, over and over again. Am I yelling? I'm sorry. I am so pumped up. You guys, we were on this outreach to Russia, and it's ministry nonstop, except for about 4 hours a night when we would try to sleep. And you heard from the team on Wednesday night. This woman's life had been shaken. And I looked to the people in Russia, and everything is changing for those of you who have been there in the past. It's all different now. Affluence. Bentley Auto Center of St. Petersburg. St. Petersburg Porsche and Audi. They don't want dollars anymore. No dollars. We want euros. We want ruble. They're growing. They're taking off. They're excited. How many old people did we see being left behind that don't understand the change, the government, the future, with their hand out? I gave, in the metro, I gave a woman a little, I don't even know what it was. It was like 200 rubles, which I forget what that is. It's like, I don't know what it is. I forgot. It's like $1 to 27 rubles. Ridiculous. And she looked at that. She started crying. She kissed my hand. I wanted to give her my clothes, but it wouldn't look good on a woman. Nothing. None of this matters to us. Faith doesn't matter to us. We don't even care about faith. But you will when you enter into the dark, when you can't see. Hope. God is into hope. And it says in verses 11 and 12, now it happened. Can you circle that word happened? We won't spend time on it just to say this. It's no accident. This is a plan of God. That's what it means. Now it happened. We read that in a story. We'd never give it a second thought. God had an appointment. Now, it happened the day after. The day after what? The day after Jesus had healed the centurion's slave, servant. That he went into a city called Nain, and many of the disciples went with him in a large crowd. Verse 12 says, and when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man. What a story. A dead man. When it's dark, when death has visited you, or when you think death is coming upon you, when you've been announced that death could be at your door someday, could be 6 weeks, could be 6 months, I tell you, you start searching for a new day. And sometimes we do that, and I'm not knocking this by no means. In fact, I'm all for it. We search for hope. We search for a new day by, you know, forgetting to eat that pizza, and we wind up eating tomatoes and celery instead, or good food. You know, God made celery, and I don't know if God made pizza, but there's good stuff to eat. We need to eat, and it helps us. I understand reaching out for that, and you should do that. Well, I've got cancer, or I've got this, I'm going to start exercising. That's good. Why? What are we doing? We're reaching for hope that will bring us just one more day. The doctors told my sister, you've got 6 months to live and you're dead. And my sister lived for 7 more years. But I got to tell you, she loved those 7 years. And she loved me, by the way. She kissed me all the time and she appreciated her baby brother. When you get a sentence like that, you appreciate. This woman had nothing. And we don't know what that's like. She had nothing. Down deep inside, you and I have a hunger for what hope can bring us. We want to have a new day. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're saying, man, I can't wait for tomorrow. This morning started off bad. I can't wait to just start a new day. It's hope that makes us get up in the morning. It's hope that gets us going again. Maybe it's going to be different today. This woman was losing all that. And what do we do when hopelessness arrives? She's hit with the news. Her son is dead. Her husband's dead. He had been dead. She's got nothing. It's either God's way of hope, my friend, or listen, you're left alone to cope the best you can. And that's not good enough. I don't know about you, but that's not good enough. Cope? I thank God. I cannot find cope in the Bible. Hope I can find. But cope with a C, I cannot find. Nowhere does God say, just cope with it. You understand? He doesn't say that. He says, hope in this. He says, hope in me. I don't know if you'll have a hard time with this. If you do, tough. I was speaking in a nightclub bar in Russia. And there's people there in miniskirts and clothes and smoking, and you could hardly breathe. And I had mentioned in this one message that Jesus had a woman brought to his feet who was caught in the act of adultery. And who knows? We don't know anything about her. Maybe she was a prostitute. Maybe she lived a promiscuous life. We don't know. But she was brought to the foot of Jesus. And there was this woman standing at the rail there, right at the base of the stage. And she had a cigarette in her mouth. And I said, Jesus had a woman brought to his feet caught in the act of adultery. And where were you last night? Jesus was with you. And that cigarette fell right out of her mouth. And she began to cry. Hope in the morning. He's awesome. When things seem the darkest, and boy, that nightclub was dark, I'll tell you that. God pierces the darkness with hope. In Psalm 5, verse 3, the Bible says, my voice shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning, I will direct my prayer to you, and I'll look up. The disciples were there. They were, by the way, they were experiencing faith and training. The crowds were there. We don't know what they believe. It's too soon yet to see what a crowd believes. Crowds are always tough in a crowd or even in a big church. You never know who believes what. You never know who's a Christian or not in a big crowd. The disciples are there. Their faith's in training. The crowd is there. We don't know anything about them. Jesus is going to do something, though, radical here in a moment. It's very powerful what he's going to do. Look at the second thing about faith being able to see in the dark is that when it's dark, we can look to the Lord for life. It says at the latter end of verse 12, and the dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, for she was a widow. Do you hear the desperation in this? Luke is recording this. And a large crowd from the city was with her. And I read that and it struck me. Church, listen, any one of us here who have lost anyone that we love, does it matter, church, does it matter how big the crowd is when you lose someone? No. When you've lost someone, it doesn't matter how big the crowd is. In a strange irony, there's a big gathering of people, but she's all alone like never before.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in an impassioned presentation called What Faith Has to Do, taken from Luke 7 and verses 11 through 17. It's part of our journey through this New Testament narrative of Luke, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we also want to remind you of a couple of other outreaches here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills. The first, Journey. Journey with Jack Hibbs is our television program, which can be seen anytime by online means, including hischannel.com. Hischannel.com also airs our midweek study on Wednesday nights. The current series is called The Disciplines of Life. Now remember that to be a disciple of Jesus means to be disciplined by him. Well, that's what the series is about, based on God's written word. The Disciplines of Life on Wednesday evenings on hischannel.com. We have a link at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is toll free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. If you'd like to contribute to the ongoing outreach of Real Radio, here's our mailing address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.